from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 15th chapter, verses 9 through 15. Narayanam namaskritya Narang chev narottamam Devim sarasatim vyasam Tata jayamadiraye Nashapaya shapadeshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatu tamasoke Bhaktir bhavati nashtiki. So, verse 9. Shishuku avacha Evam ashvasito raja Chichaketur dvijok tibi Virinja panina vaktram Ahimlanam abhasata Shishuku vacha Evam ashvasito raja Chichaketur dijok tibi Virinja panina vaktra Adimlanam abhasata Chant
Shishuku vacha
Shishuku vacha
Shishuka vacha Shishuka vacha Shishuku vacha. Ashasita, being enlightened or given hope. Raja, the king. Chichaketu. Dija uktibi, by the instructions of the great Brahmanas. Narda and Angira Rishi. Vimecha, wiping off. Panina, by the hand. Vakram, his face. Atimlanam, shriveled due to lamentation. Havashata, spoke intelligently. Translation. Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued, fuzz enlightened by the instructions of Narada and Angira, King Chitaketu became hopeful with knowledge. Wiping his shriveled face with his hand, the king began to speak. Shri Raja Vacha, Kauyuvam Gyana Sampana Mahistau Chamahiyasam Avatutena Veshena Gudha Vihasamakato. King Chitaketa said,
You have both come here just like Avadutas, liberated persons, just to cover your identities. But I see that of all men, you are the most elevated in awareness. You know everything as it is. Therefore, you are the greatest of all great personalities. Charanti havana kamam brahmana bhagavat piyaha madisham grami buddhiram botayan matalingina. Brahmanas who are exalted to the position of Vaishnavas, the most dear servants of Krishna, sometimes just like madmen, just to benefit materialists like us, who are always attached to sense gratification, and just to dissipate our ignorance. These Vaishnavas wander on the surface of the globe according to their desire. Kumaro Narada Ripur Angira Devalosita Apantaran Ratama Vyaso Markandeyo Tagautama Vashishto Bhagavan Rama Kapilo Bharatayani Dvasa Yagyavakasha Jatukarnastatarani Romashas Chavano Datta Asuri Sapatanjali Rishi Veda Shira Tamya Muni Pancha Shikas Tata Hiranyana Pakoshalya Shutadeva Rita Dvaja Eti Parej Sitheshas Charanti Ganhetava. All great souls, I have heard that among the great and perfect persons wandering the surface of the earth to instruct knowledge to people covered by ignorance are Sana Kumara, Narada, Ribu, Angira, Devalasita, Apantara, Tama, Vyasadev, Markandeya, Gautam, Vashishta, Bhagavan, Parshuram, Kapila, Shukadev, Durvasa, Yagyavakya, Jatukarna, and Aruni. Others are Ramasha, Chavana, Dattatreya, Asiri, Patanjali, the great sage Dhomya, who is like the head of the Vedas, the sage Panchashika, Hiranyanabha, Kaushalya, Shutadev, and Ritatvaj. You must certainly be among them. Purport. The word Gyanahetava is very significant because great personalities like those listed in these verses wander on the surface of the globe, not to mislead the populace, but to distribute real knowledge. Without this knowledge, human life is wasted. The human form of life is meant for realization of one's relationship with Krishna or God. One who lacks this knowledge is categorized among the animals. The Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Namam duskitana muta papadyante nararamaha mayaya parhitagyana asaram bhavamashitaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lost among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Ignorance is the bodily conception of life. Yasyatma buddhi kuna petitatuke sa eva gokara. Practically everyone throughout the universe, especially on this planet Bhurloka, thinks there is no separate existence of the body and soul, therefore no need of self-realization. But that is not a fact. Therefore, all the Brahmanas listed here, being devotees, travel all over the world to awaken Krishna consciousness in the hearts of such foolish materialists. The acharyas mentioned in these verses are described in Mahabharata. The word Panchashika is also important. One who is liberated from the conceptions of anamaya, pranamaya, manamaya, vijnanamaya, and anandamaya, and who is perfectly aware of the subtle coverings of the soul, is called Panchashika. According to the statements of Mahabharata, Shantiparva, chapters 2:18-19, an acharya named Panchashika took birth in the family of Maharaj Janak, the ruler of Mathila. The Sankhya philosophers accept Panchashikacharya as one of them. Real knowledge pertains to the living entity dwelling within the body. Unfortunately, because of ignorance, the living entity identifies himself with the body and therefore feels pleasure and pain. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. So at the beginning of these verses, verse 9, it appears that a change has come over King Chitraketu. He was lamenting for the loss of his son, but then he heard the instructions, knowledge given by Devarshi, Narada, and Angira, and he became hopeful with knowledge. So knowledge is what drove away his ignorance, what drove away his lamentation. And although his face was still shriveled up from lamentation, but now he was enlightened. And he's speaking very, very wonderful, enlightening words. And he's appreciating the persons who have come before him as great sages, brahmanas, vaishnavas, servants of Krishna. And the purpose, the only purpose of life for these sages is to enlighten ignorance. And they wander the surface of the globe just for that purpose. And he gives a whole list of great sages, and he says, I think you're one of them. And he did get it right. He got Narada and Angira in the list of the sages. He got it right. They are there, and they are enlightening him. So yesterday I looked up some of these sages to see who they were and what they are known for. Some of them are known to us and some of them are not. So I will tell you a few things about the ones that we haven't heard, and even the ones that we have heard. Of course, Sana Kumara is the head, or he's one of the four Kumaras who were first born from Lord Brahma. And actually, as soon as they were born, Lord Brahma gave them an instruction, which they disobeyed immediately. They were not very... they were rebellious children, and they didn't exactly follow their father's instruction, even though he was the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma. He ordered them to have children because the universe was empty, and they were the first born from him. But they refused, and they said, no, we're going to be brahmacharis. So that was how their birth. And they also were known because they were impersonalists, but just by smelling the tulsi offered to the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, their impersonalism changed to personalism. They were converted just by smelling the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of Narayan. They had great power. They could travel even to Vaikuntha, but they could not get in because they were impersonalists. So it wasn't until they were enlightened by Lord Narayan himself, then they became devotees, and they started their own sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya, which was coming originally from Lord Sankarshan. So that is Sanat Kumara. Now, Sanat Kumara himself was incarnated when Lord Krishna came on this planet. Do you know who was? He was one of the associates of Lord Krishna. Do you know who Sanat Kumara was? Who was he in Krishna Leela?
A cowboy.
No. Anybody know? Who was Sanat Kumara? Actually, he was Pradumna, it says here. Incarnation of Kamadev. Incarnation of Sanat Kumara, son of Krishna and Rukmini. Of course, you know Pradumna is also Vishnu, but sometimes there's different parts that go together and merge in one body, and this is an example here. He's Cupid, yeah.
Sanat Kumara is the famous...
Brahmachari, I know.
Ancient.
I know, and it says he's an incarnation of Kamadev, Sanat Kumara. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, even though he's detached, he's an incarnation of Kamadev. I thought that was a very interesting point, which I stumbled on yesterday, about Sanat Kumara. And also, the four Kumaras are incarnations of knowledge, potency of the Lord. Special incarnations. Now Angira, he's here with Narada. Ribhu. Now Ribhu doesn't say anything except when Daksha had his sacrifice and Sati left her body, then Ribhu demigods came out of the sacrificial fire to fight with Lord Shiva's followers. That's the only place I found Ribhu. I don't know if it's the same Ribhu as mentioned here. Angira is a mental son of Lord Brahma. He came from the mouth of Lord Brahma. Different parts of the body of Lord Brahma came different sons, and Angira came from his mouth. And he is still alive at Alokananda on the bank of the Ganga. Still alive somewhere in this universe. Alokananda. Now, Asita and Devala are often together in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna cites them as authorities, Devala or Sita, when he's, actually not Krishna, Arjuna. Arjuna cites them as authorities when he says, you are Brahman, you are the supreme Brahman, you are everything. And he cites Asita and Devala. And there's another information about Asita, and Prabhupada puts the names together in his explanation. Asita explained 1,500,000 verses of Mahabharata to his father. So, Asita. Markandeya, no, after Asita comes Vyasadeva. So Vyasadeva, we know very, very much about him. He was the disciple of Narada Muni. He was unhappy even after writing Vedanta Sutra and all the Vedas, Puranas, so many things he wrote, still he was unsatisfied. So Narada instructed him, you did not glorify Krishna enough, and that's why you're not happy. So therefore, now do it right this time and glorify Krishna. And he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Then there's Markandeya. Markandeya is famous for his long life. One place I read that he lives for 7 kalpas of Brahma, 7 days of Brahma. So the description is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, how he lived through the destruction of one day of Brahma, and he was suffering so much because he was swimming in the water with no shelter for a long, long time. The water's devastation. Huh?
The fish were trying to eat him.
Yeah. But he had a long life, so they couldn't. He had this benediction of long life. And then finally he came upon a small boy. He came Krishna, floating on a banyan leaf. And he went up to Krishna, and then Krishna swallowed him. He went in his stomach and he saw the whole universe was there in the stomach of Krishna, as it was before. And he wandered around there in his stomach for a while, and then he came out again. And this place is Gojuma in Mayapur, where Krishna... So this place is not destroyed in Mayapur, Gojuma, Dweep. Gojuma Dweep. This is where Krishna appeared on the banyan leaf. And Markandeya got darshan there. So this Mayapur is never destroyed, even in the dissolution. And then there comes, and he got the darshan of Narayana Rishi, and by their mercy, he got to see the destruction and everything. He wanted to see Maya. So it's not a good prayer, not a good thing to ask from Krishna. Yeah, so he got in trouble because of that. I mean, he suffered so much. So therefore, Markandeya Rishi, he's at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12. Gotam Rishi is one of the 7 sages. He is the author of the Vaisheshika philosophy, which is logic also. The logic, Vaisheshika, they count atoms, they count different things. They are very similar to Paramanuvada of Kanada. No, Kanada is logic. Gotama is Vaisheshika. So anyway, he one of those 6 philosophers. And his husband, his wife is very famous. His wife's name was Ahalya. And she was chased to her husband, but Indra became lusty over her and he wanted to enjoy her. So Indra came in the form of her husband. So she fell down with Indra, but because she thought Indra was her husband. And then when her husband came back, he understood. He cursed her to become stone. She turned into stone because of that. And she had to stay like that for many millions of years until Lord Ram came. And Lord Ram came and touched her with his foot, and she became delivered from that curse and got her life back. And Gotam is also the grandfather of Kripa, who is a very famous general in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Now Vasishta is another of the 7 sages. We have 7 sages, 7 great sages, Maharshis. And he was alive... Jai Radha Madhava Kijai. He was alive at the time of Lord Ram. He was a character in the Ramayana. And he was also alive during the time of Lord Krishna. He was a character in the Mahabharata as well. He was in Yudhisthira's assembly. And he was also alive at the time of Hiranyakashipu. So he had he was also a very long life. Of course, he's still living. All the seven sages are still living at this time. And they are the seven stars that we see, the Big Dipper in the sky. And they have their own planets. So they are alive. Now, Vishishta fought with Vishvamitra for the sake of his Kamadhenu. He had a cow that was an amazing cow. And Vishvamitra, when they had the fight, the cow defended herself. He tried to steal the cow, and the cow sent forth so many soldiers, they defeated the army of Vishvamitra. But then after that, Vishvamitra was fighting with Vashishta. They had a feud, even though they were great sages. And Vashishta was tolerating, but Vishvamitra caused the death of Vashishta's 100 sons. So Vashishta was so upset when he lost his 100 sons, he tried to commit suicide. He threw himself off a mountain, but then the bottom became like cotton. He threw himself in the ocean, but the waves washed him to shore. He threw himself in the river, and he was again washed to the shore. So, Mari Krishna Rakike, Raki Krishna Marike. And just like this boy who tried to commit suicide, jumped off the top 6-story building, but he didn't die. He's alive, suffering like anything. So, you cannot even kill yourself if Krishna doesn't want. He will save you. He will protect your life. So, Vishishta, he couldn't do it. And he was the husband of Arundhati, who is the most chaste of all the wives of the seven sages. When the fire god Agni, there was one Swaha, she wanted to marry Agni, and Agni was attached to the 6 wives, the Kritikas. So all of them, Swaha, she took the shape of all of these 6, but she couldn't take the shape of Arundhati because she was so chaste. And she went and she had sex life with Agni. And finally, Agni accepted her, Swaha, as his wife. Then after Vashishta comes Parashuram, and we know him. He's our one of Dashavatars. He's in this list. He's also a great sage, and he will become one of the 7 sages in the next change of Manu. Every time Manu changes, then the 7 sages change, Indra changes, and the demigods change every time there's a change of Manu. So Parashuram will become one of those. Ashwatthama will become one also. Interesting, who is going to become in the next Ashwatthama is going to become one of the sages, 7 sages. Parashuram will become one of the 7 sages. Okay, so Parashuram, he's famous for killing the Kshatriyas 21 times. 21 generations of Kshatriyas were killed by him. Then there's Kapiladev, who's son of Devahuti, who spoke Sankhya philosophy, and we're well aware of his glories. And he's the son of Kardama. He spoke how to perform devotional service mixed with Ashtanga Yoga and Sankhya philosophy. Actually, Sankhya and Yoga go together. Then Shukadeva Goswami, we're very familiar with, speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, son of Vyasadev. Durvasa Muni, we know very well for his reputation of being very easily angered. He had a fight with Ambarish Maharaj, and he was defeated by the king, although he was the master of all mystic powers. He was defeated by the simple, humble Vaishnava, Ambarish. Then he tried to make trouble for the Pandavas. But because Krishna came to protect them, after we know the story, that Duryodhan sent Durvasa Muni to the Pandavas after Draupadi had finished eating. Before she eats, she can feed thousands and millions and unlimited people. As soon as she eats, though, then the magic bowl stops. So she had finished eating, and Duryodhana sent Durvasa to eat, and Yudhisthira said, please have your bath, and it will be ready by the time you come back. So, in the meantime, Krishna came, and he said, I'm very hungry, please give me something to eat. And Draupadi said, no, it's finished. He said, okay, let me see the pot. And there was one little piece of vegetable stuck in the pot, and he ate that. And as soon as he ate that, all of the 10,000 followers of Durvasa and Durvasa were filled up to the neck. And they're in the water, they're looking at each other. Now what are we going to do? We can't eat another bite. And they've made a feast for us. And they're Vaishnavas, and if we don't eat, they'll be offended. And if we offend a Vaishnava, Durvasa, his intelligence was developed after he had his fight with Ambarish. So he realized, don't mess with Vaishnavas. So they all ran away. And then Krishna said, okay, Bhima, go call them. So Bhima came, and as soon as they saw Bhima, they just started running away. And so this is Durvasa, Durvasa Muni. He is an incarnation of, partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, born from Atri Muni and his wife Akuti. So partial incarnation. Three sons were born, and two of them are mentioned here. The other is Dattatreya, Durvasa, and the other one is Soma. Soma, the moon. Wait, born of the moon. Who's born of the moon? Is it the moon? I can't remember. Anyway, Dattatreya is born of Vishnu. Oh, yeah. Soma is born of Brahma. That's right. The moon is born from Brahma. And Dattatreya is born from Vishnu. And Durvasa is a partial expansion of Lord Shiva, because they couldn't figure out who is God. He said, whoever is the supreme controller, please come. We want you as our son. So all three came, because he didn't specify which one. So Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva came, and they all had three sons. Then, Yajnavalkya. He's a mystic yogi, and his guru was also mentioned in this list, Hiranyanabha, guru of Yajnavalkya. This is described again in 12th canto. That one time, Yajnavalkya got really proud, and his guru told his other godbrothers to do something. He said, they're useless. I'll do it. And forget about them. I can do everything instead of them. So then his guru got angry, and he said, you're too proud. And so then, give me back whatever you learned. So he taught him some part of the Yajurveda. And so what Yajnavalkya did was vomit the Vedas. So he thought, okay, if I vomit them, nobody else can get them. But the godbrothers were really smart, and they turned into partridges, and they ate. That's how they got the Vedas. They ate the vomit, and then they got the Vedas from him. So then Yajnavalkya left his guru, and he did special worship for the sun god. Partridges. That's Taittiriya Upanishad. They're called Titiras. So that's that way the Taittiriya Upanishad came. That's the Taittiriya Upanishad. Because it's by titiras. It was from partridges, titiras. No, it's a different one. This is Taittiriya Upanishad. Taittiriya.
They must have spoken it after that.
Yeah, then it became spoken. I mean, that's how they had to get it, though. It's the only way they could get it, I guess. We don't know the ways of the sages. Very mysterious. And not only that, the sun god spoke. So he worshipped the sun god, and the sun god came in the form of a horse. And he spoke special Yajurvedas to Yajnavalkya. We've got some new Yajurvedas, which were not on the earth yet. Because up in Brahmaloka, there's a billion verses of the Vedas, and Bhagavatam is among them, is part of that, part of those billion verses of the Vedas. Here we don't have so many Vedas. And Mahabharata is much bigger there also, in the heavenly planets. But originally it all came from 1 billion verses on Lord Brahma's planet. So next, the Aruni. Aruni, the only place I found him was in the 10th canto, that there are some yogis, they're called Aruni yogis, and they can raise the life air up to the top of the head. So these are the Arunis. Ramasha, I didn't find. Chavana, we know also. He was one of the great sages, son of Bhrigu. He married Sukanya, who was a princess. He was very, very old because he was doing austerities and in an anthill. And so when she came, her father came with all his soldiers to visit Chavana. Then she saw these two glowing lights in an anthill, so she pierced them, and that was the eyes of the sages. The sage Chavana, who got very angry. He cursed all of the soldiers and everybody in the army and everybody who the king had brought, that they couldn't pass stool. That was the curse. So then the king said, oh no, we have offended the sage. Who has offended? And the daughter said, oh, I didn't know. She was just a young girl, very young. I pierced these two glowing substances. So then the king was really worried, because if the sage curses you, your whole kingdom, you lose everything. You can lose everything. So he was very worried, and he went to Chaivana. And he said, oh, sage, please forgive me. And then the sage said, is your daughter married? So then the king understood what was on his mind. So then he gave the daughter to him. And although he was a very old man, she was very chaste, even though who knows how, there might have been hundreds of years difference in their age, because these sages live a long time. He might be even 1,000 years of difference in their age, because he was a son of Bhrigu, and she was just a young girl. So who knows how, even millions of years difference, but she still served him as a very chaste wife. Can you imagine that your husband is a few million years older than you, or a few thousand years older than you? Anyway, he's very old. And but then he asked the Ashwini Kumaras to make him young, and they did that. And then she had this young man as her husband. He probably could have done it himself, but you know, these sages, if you do that, then you waste all your mystic power, all your credits that you've gotten for so many millions of years. You lose it. So he probably didn't want to waste it. So he asked the Ashwini Kumaras to do it for him. And then, so that's Shaivana. Dattatreya is the son of Atri again. And he's actually preached in person. Although he's an incarnation of Vishnu, he has three heads, and dogs are always around him somehow. I went to one of his temples, which was full of dogs, and where was that? Nepal, Kathmandu. Yes, you see a picture of him, you'll see dogs in the picture. And he has three heads. In Bombay, they have in the Juhu temple, they have his deity in one of the dioramas, and there's dogs with him. Dattatreya. Yeah. And he preached to Yadu, impersonalist philosophy. And he's the one in 11th canto who taught about the 24 gurus, that even Lord Krishna quotes him in Uddhava Gita, the 24 gurus. So he was the one, Dattatreya, who actually spoke the 24 gurus. And it's described that the story of the Pingala prostitute is one of those stories. And the acharyas explained that he actually spent one night in her backyard, and she served him very nicely. You know, he went to rest one night under her tree or something in her backyard, and she served him very nicely. So then she's one of the 24 gurus. He learned from her. And she got detached.
She got realization.
Yeah, that's how she got it.
In one night, she got such realization.
Yeah, so she served Dattatreya. She served Dattatreya. Who came, you know, as like the sadhus, they wander and nobody knows who they are. And so she saw he was a sadhu. Asuri. Now, Asuri is a disciple of Kapila Muni. He learned Sankhya philosophy also. When it was lost, it said that Kapila taught Asuri Sankhya philosophy. Tomya is also in the Mahabharata. Here it says he's the head of the Vedas. He was a priest of the Pandavas. And how did they get him as a priest? It was when they were in exile. They were exiled in the forest. And one night, they were attacked by Gandharvas. Arjuna had a fight with the Gandharvas. And Arjuna defeated the Gandharvas. And then they became friends, the chief of the Gandharvas, Chichangara. And so then the Pandavas said, well, why did you attack us in the night? Well, what's the problem? And the Gandharvas said, it's because you don't have a priest with you. You don't have a guru. So then they accepted Daumya as their guru. And he was with them all through their exile in the forest. Another thing that Daumya did was, when Arjuna went to the heavenly planets to get all the weapons, the special weapons, then Daumya went up there and gave them news and went back down and told them, okay, this is happening, this is that's happening. And then again, when Draupadi was kidnapped, well, actually, when they were, he was there, he did all the sanskaras for them. And when at the marriage of Draupadi, he was also there. And you see, he was their priest. So then when they were in exile, he didn't go with them, but then they called him afterwards that he should also be with them in exile. And one time, Draupadi was kidnapped by Jayadratha, and Daumya was following her, following the chariot. And because the Pandavas had gone out to do hunting or whatever, and Draupadi was alone, and she was there alone, and Jayadratha was on his way to his marriage. But then instead, he wanted Draupadi. As soon as he saw her, he said, forget my wife, forget that girl, I want Draupadi. And so he got her on his chariot. And then, of course, then Daumya was following, and the Pandavas found out from Daumya that she was kidnapped. And then the Pandavas went and they got Jayadratha. Again, they didn't kill him because he was probably a relative, and he was about to marry one of their relatives, probably. And instead, so then, they cut his hair in funny places. And it's permanent, actually. It's a permanent shave because they do it with a sword, and it's a permanent haircut. Like,
they actually cut the scalp.
Yeah, they actually, fix it so that it doesn't grow out again. It's a permanent haircut. So then Jayadratha was, of course, very upset. And he did a sacrifice. I mean, he performed austerities. He pleased Lord Shiva. And he said, okay, I want the benediction to defeat all of the Pandavas in battle. And Lord Shiva said, that's not possible. He says, but I will give you the benediction that you can stop them once. You cannot defeat them or kill them, but you can stop them, except for Arjuna. You can stop four of them. And that's when Abhimanyu is killed. And Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was somewhere else fighting. So they decided to distract Arjuna, all the rest of the Duryodhana's army. They got Arjuna distracted. And in the meanwhile, Abhimanyu went inside the army, but he didn't know how to come out because he heard how to do it when he was in the womb. But then something happened in between and he didn't hear the rest of the instructions how to come out. So the Pandavas said, don't worry, we'll come in after and then we'll help fight. But then what happened was Jayadratha stopped the four Pandavas from going in after Abhimanyu. So then that's when he got that benediction. And then Abhimanyu was killed. So then we have Patanjali. He's also one of these six acharyas of the six darshans. The six darshans. And that is yoga, Patanjali Yoga Sutras. Then we have Kaushalya was not there. Shutadev, the only Shutadev I found was in Krishna Lila. And Ritadvaj I didn't find. So, Panchashika is mentioned in the report that he's a Sankhya philosopher, son of Janak Maharaj. And Janak is one of the 12 Mahajans. So how many Mahajans? We have Kumara, Narada in this list. We have Kumara, Narada, Shukadev, Kapila, and Shiva's not in the list here. Yeah, four Mahajans. He's not in the list. Not in this list.
Bhishma,
yeah, but he's not here in this list. I'm saying in this list there's four Mahajans. Four of the 12. So Panchashika is not very much known, but Prabhupada makes a point about the five types of subtle coverings of the soul, Panchashika. Jai Ramanatha Dodhitai Jai. So these five coverings, here's another name so you can be aware that Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, Vijnanamaya, Nandamaya. We have heard of these before in Krishna book and in Bhagavad Gita. There are five different conceptions of life or coverings of the soul. Anamaya means, of course, you think eating is everything. Your goal of life is to have a full stomach. That is your goal. And This we find in the children, the infants. They have this feeling that eating is everything. And if they want to know, you know, 1 or 2 year old child, or two up to three, I would say maybe two, 1 to 2 year old child. If they want to know what something is, the way they figure it out is put it in their mouth. Then they say, "Oh, now I know what this is," because their mouth is the way they understand the world. So anamaya, isn't it? They just stick it in the mouth.
I suppose that they have, because they the gold blankets food, so they would put it in their mouth and they would have two categories, food and not food.
Edible and unedible, inedible. Yeah, two categories.
If it's not food, get rid of it. If it's food, well, then yeah.
Yeah.
That's a level of interest.
Yeah, yeah. Monkeys are kind of like that too. But they are more, they're a little bit more intelligent. But they're still, the goal is food. But they'll put things in their mouth to get food, like shoes, like cell phones, glasses. Yeah. They put it in their mouth and chew on it until you give them some food in return, in exchange.
If you chew on something long enough, it becomes food. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, they know they can get food by trading. But so that's their level. Actually, their level is anamaya. Not only anamaya, then pranamaya. Pranamaya is animal level, sleeping, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That if you can have a nice house, food, sex life, and defense, then that is the goal of life. That's pranamaya. That you just keep alive nicely. And that's very nice. But then vijnanamaya, then you get some realization, theoretical realization, I'm not this body. I am spirit soul. So, and you're on the mental, Jnanamaya. Jnanamaya is, we forgot that level. Jnanamaya is the mental speculation, thinking, feeling, willing. And so this is poetry, arts, philosophy, knowledge, materialistic knowledge. It's the level of the mind. So some people get on that level, and they, for them, food is not so important. I know one person who was on that level, and all he ate was peanuts. That was his only food, because he was so absorbed in his books and his science and his everything that he wasn't. He just completely off the anamaya platform, really in the mind. So then the next is vijnanamaya, that you're not this body. So jnanamaya is theoretical, vijnanamaya is actual knowledge, and you realize knowledge. You know you're not the body. So what is the behavior of one who knows he's not this body? In the second chapter, Krishna says, you tolerate. Tolerate. Then anandamaya is the devotee. He's happy with Krishna. He's connecting. He's doing service with Krishna. So we like to follow in the footsteps of these great sages and preach just like they're preaching. And so that is the goal of our lives as Vaishnavas, is to go to the anandamaya stage and to give that anandamaya stage to everyone else and to follow in the footsteps of these great sages. And Srila Prabhupada is in this list also. I'm sure we could say the same. You must be one of these sages in this list. Must be one of these.
Narada,
Vyas. Could be Vyas, could be Narada, could be... Yes. Well, Prahlad's not on the list, but yeah. He could be one of those personalities that has everyone, so many people within him. It seems that he does. He has Prahlad, he has Vyas, he has Narada. He has Advaita Acharya. He brought Advaita called Lord Chaitanya, and Prabhupada established so many deities everywhere, all over the world. So he seems to... Who knows? Who knows? Who is Prabhupada? He's very elevated. He's certainly one of these elevated personalities, and he's wandering the world just like they are to distribute Krishna consciousness. So, are there any questions? Yeah.
You're saying about Lord Kapila teaching the mixture of Sankhya.
Not me. Yeah.
Because that was what was appropriate. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it talks about Buddha Yoga, which is like a mixture, isn't it?
Buddha
like
Yoga, no.
Some karma, some jnana, but combined together to produce bhakti.
Yeah. Well, there's different meanings of Buddha Yoga.
But my question
appear.
Was, well, did Prabhupada do that? Did Prabhupada give us a particular mix?
Well, he gave us the unadulterated thing. He gave us the unadulterated truth. But then he applied it for different circumstances. Time, place, and circumstance. He applied that absolute truth. He gave the highest, just like Lord Chaitanya. He gave the highest thing. And that's why if you read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, you get the highest. Right from the beginning, you get surrender to Krishna. Whereas if you don't have the purports, you just read the verses, then you won't get it. You won't get that. No, Prabhupada's giving the highest right from the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You don't have to wait to the 18th chapter to find out surrender to Krishna. Whereas if you go to the Acharya's commentaries or and things, then you may not get that idea. You may not get, like, Prabhupada really went straight to the essence. He gave the highest. And then other, you know, then devotees, it's like they hear different things and so they practice in different ways. But Prabhupada gave the simple and highest thing, unadulterated devotional service. Because that's where he is. Of course, he did allow, in the beginning especially, you know, just chant Hare Krishna and nobody was following the rules. And then after he told the rules,
Yeah, and he says things like work for Krishna, be a grihastha for Krishna.
Right, right. So he gave the highest. But even Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, if you can't do this, do this. If you can't do that.
Yeah. I was just thinking that, you know, that according to what's appropriate, you know, so Prabhupada has given us an appropriate program, like the morning program and the evening program.
It's
bhakti yoga, pure bhakti yoga, but it's his.
It's his way, yeah. He digested it and gave it to us. Any other questions? Yes?
Question is, before, like in Vita Sutta, he was born as a demon. Then how could he become such an exalted devotee and he could fix his mind without devotion on the time of death?
That was Maharaj Pariksit's question, I think, before this. And if you stay here for a few more months, then you'll find out the answer. And the next, this is explanation of why. He was a great devotee. Now, he's Chitraketu. That was the question. How did this Vritashara demon become? So then all these chapters you're reading now, this is the answer. That because now Chitraketu, after being instructed by Narada, he'll become a great devotee of Sankarsana. And he will get darshan of Sankarsana and he will offer prayers. And so this Vritashara, he was Chitraketu in his last life. And then he made an offense. I mean, he didn't really make offense. But what happened was he was flying in his... He got all this mystic opulence after becoming a great devotee, flying in his airplane. And then he saw Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva had Durga, his wife, on his lap. And so he made some comment. This is very interesting how you are holding her and you know, teaching all the sages. So Lord Shiva didn't mind. He thought, it's nothing. But his wife got angry. Durga Devi, she got angry and she cursed, you become a demon in your next life because you have demon mentality. But actually, he's pure devotee. He's on the highest prema. And he didn't lose his prema. He didn't lose it. He kept it for his next life. So although he fell down, materially, he got a demon body, but because of his pure devotional service, then he didn't lose that in his next life, and he went back to Godhead.
So he in last life he had darshan with Angira and Narada.
Yeah, Angira and Narada, and he'll have darshan with Sankarsan, Lord Sankarsan. He will offer prayers and worship Lord Sankarsan, and he got perfection in this life. He got prema. So then next life, he didn't lose that prema. It's never lost, your devotional service. Even you make some mistakes. So he made some mistake. And it wasn't really, but Mother Parvati was not very happy with him, with that statement. So she cursed him. He became Vritashara. She didn't appreciate the joke, you know. Maybe he was joking with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva took it like, you know, he didn't take seriously, just a joke. But Parvati was so angry. So, finish, become demon. You will hear this story now. This is 6th Canto, chapter 15, 16. And you will hear the story. Any other question? Yeah?
They mentioned Pingala and how she got the blessings of the sage, and then she was able to change her mentality, it seemed like, very rapidly.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, oh, I was puzzled about that, you know, like, say, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he suddenly changes his mentality and becomes like a fully pure devotee. Is that possible?
Well, if you meet Lord Chaitanya, but he was also in his last life, he was Brihaspati, who's a devotee. He was a devotee in his last life. He's a guru of the demigods, so obviously he's a devotee. I mean, it's but yeah, but it is possible. Prabhupada, the example is Prabhupada that
for Ramalacha, that would be possible for him just to.
Yeah, if Prabhupada desires. You know, just look at someone and, you know, someone will say, oh, I saw him on the airplane, that's why I became a devotee. And someone was telling me, oh, I was a schoolgirl, someone was telling me, I was a schoolgirl and I went to see Prabhupada one, you know, somewhere. She saw Prabhupada at some function. He spoke to a huge group and she was there and he touched me on my head and then, you know, now here I am. It's just like, even Prabhupada's books, there was one story, I was doing this, I'll do this on one of my seminars on tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do reading, tomorrow we'll do japa and reading Prabhupada's books. So I was asking about people's experiences. And so one of the devotees said, my mother, when I was a baby, she was reading Bhagavad Gita when I was in the womb. But her mother never became a devotee. The mother just kept the book on the shelf. And then later on, this girl found it. And she said, what is this? And her mother said, oh, yeah, some book. I was reading it to you when you were in my womb.
Reading it.
She said, I was reading it then. And so this one became a devotee. She's the wife of Ajita, who's temple president of New Govardhan.
So the child must have picked up the mode of spiritual inquiry.
Yeah.
Mother's consciousness.
As soon as she met the devotees, she was 16 when she joined. We met the devotees when she was 16. She was working as a cashier at one of these supermarkets near where the devotees lived. And then I think Brisbane it was or something.
Because they said that the mentality of the mother influences the growing child.
Yeah, it does. I'm waiting. I chanted Bhagavatam twice while my son was in the womb. I sang the verses.
Yeah.
Must be somewhere in the subconscious.
Maybe next life.
No, it'll be this life. If astrology is correct, it'll be this life. Age of 50. He'll be guru and sannyasi and everything, but now you would never think it. Well, one thing he did say, when I was on Skype phoning him yesterday, and his father's, I was telling, it was Nisshingadev's, no, I was phoning him on Nisshingadev's, and I said, oh, you need to chant today. You need to chant one, at least one round. So his father was saying, no, he doesn't believe in chanting. And then he said, well, no, that's not true. So there's, yeah, reverse psychology. Anyway, so there's hope. Yes. So, any other questions or comments? Okay, I'll go as to Shri Prabhupada.